Lord bless you all this morning in the name of the Lord for coming into his house to worship. And that's what we are, we're worshippers. So shall we stand this morning to worship and sing 252, Take the Name of Jesus With You.
The name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe, and will joy and comfort give you, take it wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus, heaven, as a shield from every sin. If temptations round you gather, pray that holy name and prayer. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it through the Lord for joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs are tongues of gold. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings and him will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Amen. We'll just bow with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, and just come with humble hearts, Lord, to receive from you, Lord. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and draw us closer to yourself, Lord, in this time of trouble, Lord, the end of days, Lord. I just pray that you would draw our hearts, Lord, into true worship, Lord, Lord, and true praise, and giving you all glory, Lord. Lord, and I just pray a blessing upon each one here this morning, Lord, with they've made the effort, Lord, to come before you this morning into your presence, Lord. And we just thank you for this time, Lord. And if there's more coming, Lord, we just pray a blessing upon them also, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Once I was a sinner, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven.
Sing the last chorus.
On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
Amen. Where are we going? Going to heaven. Sometimes we lose sight of that and we get mixed up down here, but we're going up, not staying down here. Let's sing just a little longer.
Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to heaven, how redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, and we'll meet Him in the sky. Just across the bridge, there'll be no just across the bridge, there'll be no pain. God's sun is gonna shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again.
10,000 years is a long time. I think that's a bit hard to take in, really, when you think about it. Shall we sing, I'm in that number?
I'm I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. Frozen wild. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. Frozen wild. That blood was number. That blood was number. I'm in that number. Broken one. Broken one. John saw that number. That blood was number. John saw that number.
Sing, I serve a risen Saviour.
I serve a risen Saviour, He's in the world today. I know.
trust it lives within your heart this morning. I'm not sure if there was any items this morning. You may be seated, by the way. If you like, Pauline. Thank you. Just take the prayer request now as well. I'll be here. There was no new ones on the internet that I saw. But if there was any in the congregation this morning, I'd ask Bill if he could pray for them. June. Speedy recovery. Any other unspoken? I'll get you to take that song for him. Thank you.
Me.
Thank you, Sister Pauline. Thanks, Bill.
That was pretty amazing because when I came in, I don't know what the song was, and I kept looking behind me because there was like another voice coming in from the behind me. I thought it was Peter at first. Well, actually, I thought it was one of the Heckle boys. It was just like another voice just coming in over the top. It was amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to, you know, last week when Thaddeus prayed, well, I was at school because we had some visitors coming for 2 days and they interrupted my plan, so I just went and listened to Thaddeus at school while I was doing some work, and I really enjoyed it. But what happened to the young Catholic boy? Did he finish that story? We better find out from him. Can you text him, please? Because it's like he left the story hanging and I was waiting for him to tell us what happened to that boy who he had a lunch date with. It was a really cool story, actually. And the scriptures, what I thought about was, I must write those scriptures in the flyleaf of my Bible so that if ever I come and, you know, when I want to share the gospel with someone, that they're right there. And it was a real blessing. It says in Psalm 55:23, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen, eh?
Amen.
And another one, Psalm 59, because I'm camped out in Psalms at the moment. 59:9, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. So we can just put our trust in that. I just wanted to just share a little thing. I'm not going to preach, bro. But I just wanted to share was, we were coming down today because we're going to a wedding way up in the Hokianga Harbour next weekend. And these couple are getting married. And, you know, like, one day, like on Friday and Saturday morning, she'll be Lisa Hampson. But like just crossing over, she'll become Mrs. Ben Spence or Mrs. Spence. Just in a very short period of time, she'll have left her whānau and like in a couple of weeks' time, she'll be living in Twizel with her new husband and her life will be completely different. And I was just thinking as we were singing that one of those songs up there, it's like that with the Lord. You know, well, we've got the Lord in us. But it's just when whatever happens, whether we die in the Lord or whether he takes us up with him, it's just going to be like, it's going to be, and we're no longer going to be, we're going to be like Mrs. Jesus. I was just thinking about that, you know, as we were singing it. It's going to be cool. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Anyway, I just thought just before I pray, we must give thanks to the Lord, eh? So I was just looking at Nona Anna there. We went to pray with her a couple of weeks ago. How are you, Nona Anna? Wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that, because you weren't wonderful when we saw you the other day lying on your couch. You looked in agony and we were really concerned about you. But praise God for his healing power.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anyone else got another thank you? Yep, Jan.
Thank you for my mum and
your
home.
Because when you asked for the prayer request last week, you just said Nola Corbett, and people might not know in that was your mum. She's 88 and been in the hospital for the first time ever, other than having babies, seven babies.
Oh, she broke her leg.
Okay, she broke her leg when she was 12. Anyway, so thank the Lord for that. Her mum is back on track. Anyone else? Paul, you got one? Amen. Anyone else? Mari. Amen. Barbara. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, that's good. It's terrible when all your food perishes, eh? Anyone else?
Yeah,
Pauline.
I lost my wallet from one place during the weekend, and then during the sleep, I left it at their place. Just prayed about it, and then within a few minutes of praying, I went and looked somewhere where I never used to put it back there. It was that one.
Yeah. Well, Jan, she bought me this watch. It cost hundreds. It might not look it cost hundreds, but it did. And it's been missing for ages because I hate wearing a watch up the coast because we've got our own time up there. Anyway, this week she found it in a vase, in one of her mum's Crown Lynn vases. I don't know how it got there. Anyone got another one? Yep.
Yeah, I had a need during the week and the grandkids were there and I just prayed for them, please, and they were able to pray for me in the Lord.
Hallelujah. That's good, eh? He's a good God. Amen. What about the Masons? You got one?
Yeah, just for being here this morning.
Amen. Yeah, we're blessed people. We can actually rise up out of our bed and walk or drive to church. That's pretty cool.
I always pray for my Rachel, who's all grandmothers do. And our boys Vince, he's also having a stroke and he's really struggling with his anxiety.
Amen. I just share a little thing about the little boy. So we've just started a new thing at school, and there's a new teacher. He's 40. I've known him all his life, and his youngest son is slightly autistic. Anyway, last week we had a 3-day retreat, and this guy and I shared the same accommodation, and he saw my Bible open. He asked me lots of questions. He said, "You know, my little son, who's autistic, he's about seven, I think. He's always talking about God." And they don't even know where it comes from because he doesn't have any access to that. And so I said to Timania, your dad told me that you really know a lot about God. He said, "Well, actually, Papa, I've been wondering about God. And I've been wondering about God and Jesus, and I really want to see Jesus. And I want to find out if that story about Mary is true. And also, I want to know about him as God, about all the other gods, and they're dead. And he's the only God." And I thought, 7 years old, never had any training, how the Spirit of God must just be moving on his heart. Anyway, so when he gets to Bible in schools with Kauka Jan, she'll be able to give him some bits and pieces. Okay, I couldn't even remember what the prayer request now was. Oh, Effie, Afiahua. And who? And lots of unspoken ones, yeah. Well, God knows, eh? He's got it all. Something happened the other day. Oh, I'll just share it with you. You know, because Israel's up in Auckland. And sometimes, you know, as a dad, you know, I really think about him and just his relationship with the Lord and with us and stuff like that. And then he's got a Facebook page. And then I saw the other day, what did he put up on his Facebook page? A whole photo of our family. And I thought, thank the Lord. It was a little thing, and I had just had reading in Psalms and a particular scripture, a rhema that the Lord's given me to pray for Israel. And it was the same day that came through, that, you know, people were commenting or whatever, I don't know how it all works. And they said, and I looked at it and I thought, well, that's pretty amazing. Amen. Okay, let's pray anyway. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you are so close to us. It's said in that song that you're near to us, Lord. You're so very near to us, Lord, this morning. And we're just drawing on you today, Lord. We just know, Lord, as we pull on you, Lord, that you draw closer, Lord. And Lord, you're just right there. You're right amongst us, Lord. You're right in us, Lord. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. We're so grateful for answered prayer and that we know we have a God who cares, that you healed Nona Ana with her neck and her fall. It could have been so much worse, Lord. And you just undertook and strengthened her, Lord, just knit her back together again. We're thankful. And just to how you keep an eye on our family, on our children and our grandchildren. Lord, just for undertaking with house alterations or repairs or things that needed to be done. Yeah, Lord, you just so love us, Lord. And we're so grateful that you do love us, Lord, and that you care about each and every one of our needs, even little ones, Lord. And just want to lift up Effie, Lord, Afiahua, to you this morning, Lord, with her hip. And, Lord, just really pray that you'll undertake. And even as she's laid up, it'll give her a really awesome opportunity just to dig deeper into you, Lord Jesus, and just strengthen her relationship with you, spend time in your word. And yeah, Lord, help us too, Lord, just to trust in you for our unspoken prayer requests, just to lay them at your feet, Lord, and just know that everything is, the wheels are all in motion, Lord. And we just wait for the manifestation of it, Lord, in your own beautiful way, Lord, in your own beautiful timing, Lord, you'll bring it to pass. And we thank you, Lord. We just want to worship you and praise you this morning, Lord. Bless Howard as he brings the word, Lord. And just use him as your instrument this morning. Bless our brothers and sisters in Niue, Lord. Even young Thaddeus, Lord. Thaddeus and his family. How's his dad? Is his dad healed now? Is he? Brad Burgess? Yes. Thank you for that too, Lord. We prayed for that a few weeks ago. And just knit us together as one, Lord, and this morning we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll just sing one more. Number 204, Shine On Me, Lord.
Praise the Lord, shine on me.
Amen.
Well, as Brother Peter said, shine from me.
Hallelujah.
It's very true. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to shine out of us. He wants us. He wants our body. He wants our mind. He wants everything of us. So we just pray that he will do that today. And just praise the Lord that we could be in the house of the Lord. It's a real privilege, isn't it? And, you know, we're planning to get out of here. As Brother Tim was saying, we're not going to be down here all the time. We're going up. And that is everything to us. And so we just are coming to him this morning. I don't know whether you remember or not, but because we had a bit of a break, we're doing a series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And our first lesson, if we could call it a lesson, I don't like calling it a lesson. I know you're a school teacher, Bill, but I never liked school. I don't like to think of school as lessons. Well, you know, I don't like to think we're into school, because I think it's got to be more than that. But we spoke about why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to speak about how to prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How to prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking very seriously about it, and I was asking God to really help me, because this is an extremely important subject. I just feel such a responsibility speaking it. Trust me, brother and sister, I'm not just saying that lightly. I realize that this message is going here and far and wide. As we said last week, we had 700 people listening each week to these series, and because people know the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is not another subject, it's your life. Without it, you're going nowhere. You can come to church day and night, that's good. But you need the Holy Ghost. It's the only thing that's going to get you out of here. It's the only thing that's going to change your body. It's the only thing that's going to cause you to get off the ground. It's have that quickening power in you. So to get the Holy Spirit is very, very important. I can't not overemphasize the need of this. And I know for a fact there's people listening even now that are hungering for the baptism of the Holy Spirit out there, who are hungry for it, and it should be your number one priority. If it's not, you won't get it. Now that's my opening statement. It's got to be on the top of your list, your wish list, or whatever you want to call it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so the preparation to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. You know, Brother Branham says people don't know how to receive the Holy Spirit. They come up, they don't know what they're coming for. They're not even prepared for it. It's just a subject to them. It's not a reality. So we're going to speak about this, and I want to stand for the reading of God's word from Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And says this, that, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that go to church. No. To them that obey him. How do you obey God? Do what his word says. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Which says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isn't that wonderful? Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when, is a condition, you shall search for me with
all your heart. You want the Holy Ghost? You've got to really seek for him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 28 and 30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after that he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now, brother and sister, we don't want to have that experience. I want you all to be there on that glorious morning, which could be real soon. I don't want anyone left behind. These are serious thoughts, and I pray that God will really speak to our hearts about it. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come now and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'll take your words and through my voice and the anointing of thy Holy Spirit, make it real to every person here, Lord. These things are so important. And Lord, we're living in serious times, very serious times. It's almost like the door is all ready to be closed and that all are in. But Lord, I believe if you've laid it on my heart, Lord, that there's still others to come in. We commit this to you and we pray that you'll bless it and anoint it to our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Like everything today, preparation is very needful. It's so important, preparation. You know, just take a pilot. He takes up a 400-ton aircraft into the air. He doesn't take that off the ground before much preparation takes place. Because when you get up there, there's no coming back. You've got to have it right. But more importantly, before receiving the Holy Ghost, it's vital for every person to be thoroughly prepared. And brother and sister, I can say this from experience. It's very important to be prepared to receive the Holy Ghost. It's vital for every person to be thoroughly prepared. Many are seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but are in no way prepared to receive it. They are just not even ready. The Old Testament priests, in type, went through many washings and preparations before entering to the holiest of holies, which is typing today the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he walked behind that curtain, he walked straight into the presence of Almighty God. And if things weren't right, he didn't come out again. Praise God, we don't have a recording where they didn't come out. But he had the sprinkling of blood and the confessions and the washings. And under the law, that was very important for them to do that before they came into the holy presence of Almighty God. And Brother Branham says a statement here, but he took the blood to the mercy seat, talking about the high priest. And only he alone could go in once a year. But when Jesus died on the day of the atonement, he rent the veil in two. Praise God. Not only the high priest, but whosoever will may come at any time into the Shekinah glory of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a place. It's not imaginary. It's supernatural. It's real. And you all need it. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus, you need it. Every man, he says, every woman, every boy, girl, has got to have an experience of entering into the holiest of holies and being born again. So may the Lord help us on this very vital subject this morning. Now, the first thing we need is a deep conviction. This is not just a whim. This is not just something, oh, that'll be nice. No, it's got to be a deep conviction in our hearts before you can be filled. You must have that deep conviction and this experience, that this experience is for you and for you and for you and for you. You need it. You must get it. It's like when you really want something, you're going to make sure you get it. Well, Jesus said you must be born again. And being born again is people think, oh, I give my heart to Jesus and I put my name in the book. It's a lot more than that. To be born again is to receive a new life. And so this is what we're speaking of. You cannot have any doubts about the subject. If somebody has dropped a doctrinal question into your mind that you have all you need, they'll say you gave your life to Christ, you've been baptized, and you believe the word of the hour or whatever, and you are living the life as best you can, then you have a blockage right there. You cannot have any of these things stopping you. It's got to become, brother and sister, I say this in the name of the Lord. To receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost has got to become a passion. It's got to eat you up on the inside. It's something that you long for, you're craving for. When you're on your bed, you're crying out to God, Lord, I need it, I want it, I'm going to perish without it. Then God will sit up and listen to you. But if we just come in casually and say, oh, that's right, that's a nice subject. I'd like to have that. That'd be pleasant. No, brother and sister. You will never get anywhere if we have these blockages, these questions. Is it for me? Is it not for me? It is for you, every one of you. Now, unless you are convinced about this, unless you have a deep conviction that it's for you, then I would recommend you don't do anything yet. Now, I've got a real good reason for saying that. I've seen so many people fall flat on their face because they are so despondent and disappointed they never got anywhere. They were not prepared. Maybe a little young man was disappointed he didn't win the race. He became fourth or fifth. He never won, but he wasn't really prepared properly. But in the spiritual realm, it's really serious. It's no use coming down to the altar and kneeling down and have somebody praying for you. That only brings great discouragement and disappointment and confusion. People who try without first being convinced, they go away confused and they're afraid to try again. So you see, it's really important that you have a real good grounding in the Word of God and be prepared how you approach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So many people are confused. The Pentecostal world is, out there is so confused on the subject. They've all got different versions. Oh, if you shake a bit, if you speak in tongues, or if you do this, or if you do that, or whatever. And really, we've got to come back to the Scriptures. God will only honor His Word. He will never honor my Word or anyone else's Word. He'll only honor His own Word. So this is a very important thing to think about. The first seeing the promise is for you is so important. Every person seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost must see clearly from the Scriptures that it is a promise given by God, not given by the priest or the minister or the prophet or anyone else. The promise has been given to you by God. It is also a gift from God. He's offering it to you as a free gift. You've got to see these things, brother and sister. I know it's so true for my own life. For the believer, all they have to do is take it. As it says in Acts 2:38, we know it well. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not maybe, you shall. So you hold that before God and said, look, Lord, you've already stated it. I shall receive it. Now, this is what I'm saying. It's not a good thought. Oh, the preachers say we should get it. No, Lord, you said, I shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? This is God's doing. This is not my doings or Brother Branham's or anyone else's. It's God's doings. Now, if God is talking about a lot in this book, then you need to get it real, really seriously. So we see, he says, it's a gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you. That's the people Peter was speaking to out in front of him. And to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call in Gisborne, New Zealand in 2018. Who believes that? Say amen. So it's all everyone. It's no, God said, oh, it's just for you. No, it's just for this one. It's just for this group. Or it's just, no, no. It's for everyone that really wants it. Praise God. So it's a free offer. And once you see the promises for you today, nobody can talk you out of it. People come and say, oh, we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Howard. Sorry, I got it 40 years ago. I'm sorry, you're too late on the scene. You know, people, it just amazes me. People talk, they down it and lower its rating and bring it down. It's not important. And all I want to do is lift it up. It's just the very thing they do want, I want with all my soul. Isn't it amazing? But there's something in people that don't have that desire. There's no way they'll receive it because it's not there. Now, the question we come to is, do you really want it? Is all part of the preparation. That may seem a strange question on the subject, but some people can see the promise is for them, but do they really want it? Do you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The question is, do you really want to have the Spirit to dwell in you? It's not just a few moments at the altar on Sunday. No, this Holy Spirit is coming into you to stay. It's going to be there. It's going to remain there until Jesus takes you out of here. Now, some people are full of this and they're full of that. But do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? There's no more room for any other spirit. There's a lot of spirits around, floating around. They're floating in the service as I speak. You see, brother and sister, Satan comes to church and he wants to talk you out of things and discourage you. But he is a liar and he'll never prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. And once we are filled with him, praise the Lord, this question must be settled in your heart. Do you crave and thirst to be filled above anything else? Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise be to God. They shall be filled. We're talking about a supernatural God this morning that's in this building right now. And if you want him, you can have him. You can be filled right here this morning. You see, it's so important to get that settled. You've got to get all the bugs out of your mind. Oh, I'm not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. We know that. It's nothing to do with it. He's giving it to those that desire him. So that's the criteria, definitely is a criteria, having a thirst. And the truth of the matter is, you'll be filled with something. You will be filled with something. If God doesn't get in there, something else will. You're just a walking shell. You're an empty, you're just a temple, and you need to be filled. We might as well be straight about that. There are many bad spirits out there longing to take up residence in an empty vessel. And Jesus made this very clear in Matthew 12:43. He said, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, or a woman, you could say, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house. He calls it my house. He claims people. He calls it his house, the devil does. I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Why? They're being cleaned up. They go to church now. They're cleaning up their life. They're living better than they were. They've been cleaned. They've been swept and garnished, but they're still empty. And Jesus says, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's why I say we don't want to just be play with this. We've got to be absolutely certain when we come to him that we're prepared. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation, our Lord says. So devils come back into the man because he was empty. This makes it urgent to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But above all, you must be resolute and unshakable. This is life and death to you. It's got to be a part of your life. Everything else in this life is going to pass away. This will not pass away. This will take into the kingdom of God. You must be unshakable that you want his spirit in you. His spirit in you will make you like Jesus. You'll be pure and wise and gentle and loving all. And all the other attributes of Christ will be manifest in you through the spirit that's in you. That means you're no longer in control. You have a new captain of the ship. Praise the Lord. You are no longer in charge of the vessel. He gives the directions you walk. You are now the passenger on this vessel, not the captain. So these things must be well considered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, what? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? You are a temple, brother and sister, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. People say, well, I'm not my own. That's right. God made you that he may dwell in you. And the only way he can dwell in you is for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost takes over your life completely. But human nature does not sit well with us. It does not sit well with the human nature. Adam's fallen nature in us wants to be the boss of our life. So you need to be absolutely sure that you want to be possessed by the blessed Holy Spirit. If not, you waste your time seeking for it. You really do. You're wearing yourself out because God knows you're not convinced. It's an option to you. No, it's got to be more than an option. It's life. You see, the Holy Spirit expects obedience to his written word, for example, as we said before. In Acts 5:32 it says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You see, brother, sister, if we think we can just, oh, we don't have to worry about this, we'll just do what we want to do, and we'll just come to God and fill the Spirit and live how we like. Sorry, you will not get it. He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who are willing seriously to obey him. Some think they can be full of the Holy Spirit and just do as they please. we do not obey the scriptures, he will be quenched. The Holy Spirit is quenched, held back, can't operate in that system. The problem is we just want to be as full as we want. People want to be full as they want of the Spirit. And maybe use the Spirit for a blessing. That's wrong. It's like Brother Peter said, and I was really happy when you said that, Brother Peter. Shine from me. It's not just shine on me. Shine from me. You know why he can shine from us, Brother Peter? Because he's in us. And he's shining out. God wants to live in you, to possess you, so that you'll have a ministry to everybody. Everybody you come in contact with, they'll feel the Spirit of the living God. It's not just for us, it's for him. It's for his kingdom and for his people. There are many reasons why God wants to fill you with himself. It just seems that people have as much of God as they want. Maybe we pray publicly or in our prayer meeting or our prayers or in service, Lord, fill me to overflowing. You've heard that said, I'm sure. But in private, we are quite different in reality. We talk about, fill me to overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. But unfortunately, many times we have found ourselves overflowing with ourselves. And we wonder why he cannot be pleased to dwell in us. There's another thing I want to mention about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are we ready to pay the price? People say, I thought it was free. It is free, but there's a price tag too. There's a price to be filled with the Spirit of God. Indeed, you may want to be filled, but are you willing to pay? A man may really want maybe to get a new car. He may love it. He may talk about it. He may look at it every day. But is he or she willing to pay for it? It's not whether you want it, it's whether you really want to pay for it. In Luke 13, verse 23, we read, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many will seek for the Holy Spirit and not get it. Why? There's a blockage somewhere. It's why people don't get through to God. There's so many examples. I cannot possibly begin to talk about them. But we will speak about the rich young ruler. He was one of those. He come running to Jesus. The Bible says he got down on him and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. He knelt down. He was getting down to business, seemingly. Came down to the Lord and he knelt down. Cried out, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Even though he wanted it so much, he could not pay the price for it. Some people don't want the Holy Ghost bad enough to pay the price. The Bible says when Jesus told him what to do, just sell all he had and give it to the poor and follow me. Take up your cross. The Bible says he was sad and he turned away, for he had many possessions. And the Bible says, and Brother Branham brings it out, the next time we see him is in hell. He came and stood right next to the Son of God. And he asked the right questions. He was that close to God. Brother and sister, you can get that close to God and still not make that choice. The Bible says he went away sad. He didn't get what he came for. And Peter would seek for the Holy Spirit and never get it. Why? There's a blockage. His blockage was material things. He loved riches. They don't want to pay the price. In contrast to that, there was a man who wanted it so badly, he gave up everything of himself to get it. Let's turn to Matthew 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, is only one pearl of great price. Who knows what it is? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he found that. You know what he did? He went and sold all that he had and bought it. You'll sell up on everything that's going to hold you back from the Lord. Anything that's going to get between you and you getting that Holy Ghost, you're going to sell it. You're finished with it. You want to have it. It's a number one priority in your life. Number one. So the price of self-love has to go. There's many subjects I could come on this. There's just so many avenues that's causing you to not get the Holy Ghost. You wonder why you're always having problems in the spiritual realm. Our self-love attributes have to go. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said unto the disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, see, brother, sister, there is a cross to bear. People think when Jesus died on the cross, that was it, I'm free now. No, you get your cross too. You get your Gethsemane as well. You've got to have your Gethsemane. You've got to sort these things out with God. Say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of having this defeated life. I really need the Holy Ghost to get out of here. I want it above everything in my life. God says, now you're talking. Carry on. I want to hear what else you got to say. Whether you really mean this. It's not just from your lips, but it's from your heart. Whoso will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You see, so there is a little price there. Quite a big one, actually. All our self-pride has to go. This indwelling spirit will bring humility to our hearts. It's a wonderful thing. It's not you being humble. No, he brings humility to our hearts. There's no showing off. The Holy Spirit will not tolerate it. All boasting about how God has used us, that has to go. We cannot fill an already He cannot fill an already filled vessel. It has to be emptied first. Whether it be pride or self-confidence, God has to destroy any self-attributes in the way. All our strengths are blockages to receiving His Spirit. Isn't that amazing? All our strengths are a blockage to us receiving the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace, talking to Paul, the Lord saying, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, the Lord is saying, is made perfect in weakness. Brother and sister, we've just got to let go and let God. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, he says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's all contrary to human thinking. Totally contrary. We think we're able to do this where God's gifted me. I can do that. Praise God. I've got this ability. Listen. Brother Bram says, well, brother, you say, I can preach. He says, he can't use that as long as you can preach. That's all right. I can do this. I can do that. You can do nothing. Well, then God can't use it. But if you yield yourself to God and let Him do it, you say, well, Brother Branham, I know I'm a teacher. Well, as long as you're a teacher, why? You won't get very far. God can't use it if you're a teacher. He's got to be the teacher. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher, he says. Sure he is. God sent the Holy Spirit to be the tutor over the church. There's nobody on this earth can teach you about the Lord. Do you know that? You can have the best preachers you want. Get the best preachers. That'll never teach you unless God is showing you by his Spirit and revealing to you maybe what he's saying, but it's got to be quickened to you. You see it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit in your heart. So he's the teacher. You know, we may run our life, we may run our businesses efficiently, but I want to say you'll never run the Holy Spirit. When he comes in, takes control. Sometimes we tell God in prayer, Lord, I am a nothing. I am useless, Lord. That's what we say. But if our wife or our husband said that to us, we would react so bad. We don't mean it. We lie to God. Do you know, brother and sister, we lie to God. We say things in our prayers we don't mean. Lord, I want to be really humble and I want to, and then your wife or your husband comes up and rubs you up the wrong way. Man, do you explode. We're not being honest. We are not serious as we ought to be. Are you and I willing to pay the sacrifice for our God? Who's willing? Say amen. Brother Branham said, we are going no further with God until we are prepared to pay a greater price. It's quite a statement, that. This desire must become all-absorbing. In Jeremiah 29:13, let us read this. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Yes, the desire to be filled must become all-absorbing. You know, brothers and sisters, I want to say this is a personal testimony. When I was a young man, I was just a young teen. I was hungry for God. It ate me up day and night. I really wanted to be wherever God was moving. Wherever his Spirit was, I wanted to be there. I remember my mother used to, you know, in the early days, when a preacher would come to town, evangelist or something, she'd be off to the meeting, down the tent meeting, down there somewhere. I said, oh, Mum, I'm coming. I wanted to be at that meeting. I wanted to be in every meeting. I had a greater desire for that than riding a bike or something like that. I just wanted to be where God was. I was hungry for God. And you know what? God came to me. One Sunday evening, he came to me. Blessed be his holy name. I'll never forget that. My mum and dad were praying for all us kids. I often say I never know what happened to them when they got prayed for, but I know what happened to me. It was just us, just the family, in the lounge room then. They came around and prayed for me. When they laid their hands on me, the Lord Jesus walked into the room. I tell you what, I felt that big. I was so tiny. I felt so unworthy. And he loved me with such a love, it crushed my heart. And the more he loved me, the more unworthy I felt. And the more unworthy I felt, the more he loved me. You see, brothers and sisters, it's got to be a hard experience. It's got to be reality, not just law, not just working this out. If you do that, you jump up and down. No, it's got to come in here. And in my heart, I really cried out to God. I wept like a baby in front of all my brothers and sisters, and I didn't even care. I felt his presence so wonderfully for the first time in my life. I'd been to church, I'd heard sermons preached, but this time I met him. And that's what's going to happen to every one of us. You've got to meet him. He'll crush you with his love. It's a wonderful experience. Hunger and thirst for him. Let it be your passion. And when he sees you really want him, he'll come knocking. If you're just casual, oh, I don't know. No, don't do that. It's like, you know, when you're going out with somebody, you know. You want to know they really love you. You don't want to know they're just playing around, do you? We don't want that. The desire must fill. A desire to be filled must become all-absorbing. If there's anything bigger in your life, if there's anything bigger in your life than the desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, then you cannot receive the Holy Ghost yet. If there's something pressing ahead of you over that matter, then you'll never receive it like that. It's just like marriage, as I just said. The bridegroom detects or senses something bigger or more attractive than he is in her life. And he is asked, will you take this woman to be your wife? And he will say, I will not. What? You're not going to take her because I've sensed there's something bigger in her life than me. That's why they made that clause in the marriage. As before witnesses, you've got to be sold out. If you're to be the bride of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit, you've got to be sold out to him. You cannot play around with him because he will not take you as his bride. We have other passions over and above him. Then he cannot fill you. There have been people seeking for the Holy Ghost for years. But there's always other things they want more. Some people want the Holy Ghost so they can preach well. That's not their answer. That's no good. Some want the Holy Ghost so they can be sing better or whatever, you know, and he does empower people, absolutely. But that's not the reason. You want him because you love him. And the reason you love him, because he loved you so much, he died for you. And when that's a reality to you, everything changes. Praise be to the name of the Lord. They want more. There's always other things that they want more than the Holy Spirit. Wasting your time. It's best you don't waste your time and don't waste God's time. Unless you're really hungry, nothing to do with this church or any other church. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to get on your knees and start doing some really crying out to him, Lord, I want it. I'm sick and tired of just saying, Lord, it'd be a nice thing. It's got to be a passion. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a seal, an evidence that God is satisfied with you. He's satisfied with your faith in the finished work. Your faith in him is complete and uncompromising. God is not going to come into you unless he can see he is the biggest thing in your life. Did everybody hear me say amen? He will not come into your life until he sees that he is the biggest thing in your life. Not your new house. Not your marriage coming up. Thus, it's very secondary. He wants to know that he's the biggest thing in your life. And it takes desperation. We cannot overlook this important fact. People want God to give them a toy. They expect God to give them a toy. A toy that makes them happy. But really, it's just only human happiness. Often, we will take a down-in-the-valley experience. That's what it takes. The down-in-the-valley experience, a weeping and a waiting on God. This preparation is so essential. Paul never got the Holy Ghost until he got off his horse and fell into the dust, being flat on his face before God, and was blinded and stripped of all self-confidence. Then God gave him the Holy Ghost. Jacob was willing to fight all night. You see, brothers and sisters, we can't even pray 5 minutes we fall asleep. Oh, Lord, I'm ready to seek you next, and we're snoring our head off. We don't even get to God. And God says, what's going on here? Do you mean business with me, or are you just playing with me? You've got to have a passion. And Jacob fought all night. And he wouldn't let him go, the angel go, until he had blessed him. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He touched him, and he got blessed. Really wonderful. There's 120 tarrying for 10 days. Brothers, says we cannot tarry for 10 minutes. They tarried for 10 days in prayer and waiting on God in the upper room. I've been there. I've been in that upper room. Before they received. But you know what? Where was the others? He told 500 to go there, and then 120 turned up. This is our problem. Only 120 turned up to the upper room. How willing are we to tarry until he comes to us? It seems we get to the end of our rope. We have exhausted every other avenue. We have counseled with this one and that one. Follow a visiting evangelist, a new preacher comes to town. Oh, we're into it for a week. And still we have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've become to the place of feeling very low. But that's when we should take courage. If you are near the kingdom of God, because you're wanting, feeling low, you want God, you start to feel low, that means that God is drawing you. You have a real desire. The truth is we need to get alone with God. Sometimes we substitute fellowship with others. It'll never do it. You can't just have fellowship with people and expect to get the Holy Ghost. You need to actually wait on the Lord yourself. Then we should be spending time alone with God. When we become desperate and lonely for God, then the kingdom of God is drawing near to us. You're starting to feel lonely for him. You want him. Big time. It's like a great darkness before the dawn. We're not looking for artificial happiness, but a genuine joy of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it comes into you. You won't have to tell anybody about it. Oh, I got the Holy Spirit. You won't have to. It'll be written all over you. It's a life that changes you. You'll have a new assurance, a joy, a boldness you never had before. What is our subject? Preparation. You need to be prepared. Because we're going to pray for those who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you've got to be prepared. And it's not a 5-minute checklist. Oh, I've got to get this right, I've got to get that right. No. This is God's working on you during the week. He could come to you while you're in your bed. I've had many touches from God in my bed where he's come in quietness. No one else is there. That's when the Lord can come to you. So, brothers and sisters, how we need to prepare for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive it. People get so disappointed. They've tried. It never works. They never seem to get anywhere. Brother and sister, he'll give it to you, but you need to be prepared to receive it. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful privilege to be able to receive the Holy Ghost. Lord, there's so few wanting it. It just seems the land is dry. There seems to be no water. As David said, my soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. But Lord Jesus, you have a people and you want to give us the Holy Spirit if we would really make you number one in our life. But Lord, you're number two, number three, four, five, six, seven, whatever, Lord. You're way down the list. I just pray, Lord, that you create a holy thirst in every person here, those listening out there that I know are seeking for the Holy Spirit. You hear them. You see their desire, Lord. If they really seek you, you'll come to them. You're very faithful and very loving, and you have a great desire that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get there because we say we believe the message or because we go to church. Those are very nice things, but that'll never put us in the rapture. Lord, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you'd help every person. and the sound of my voice to seek after thee. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Move upon us, Lord. Prepare our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Claim the promise of your Father, come according to His word in the blessed old time way. Bring your vessels, God, of you. Fill your heart today. Say this, that this is a very sacred personal desire that God gives to you, and you don't give a hoot what anyone else thinks or what you just want Him. You just want this Holy Ghost more than anything in this world, whether the pastor thinks it or anyone else thinks it, makes no difference. You say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I want this. I don't care if my husband's not keen or my wife's not keen. I want it. It's got to be that personal. When he gets to that place, then he'll come to you. And it's real. Trust me, it's a very wonderful experience. It's what God has ordained for you to receive. It's supernatural. It'll change your life completely. Like the cruise of oil unfading is His grace forevermore. Love. And according to His promise, with the Holy Ghost and power, He will every vessel fill. He will fill your heart to take to overflow. As the Lord commanded you, bring your vessels not of you. He will fill your heart to take to prayer. You're welcome to come out and I'll pray for you. Don't misunderstand me when I say this, but I just don't want to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit, although I'd like that to happen, and it may happen. But the thing is, for you to come sincerely to God, not to me or to anyone else, but you're sincere about this with all your heart. Lord, I've been messing about with you. I have not been completely prepared in my heart. There's things that, as Brother Branham says, we've got to clean our house out like that woman lost that talent. There's a bit of house cleaning going on. He said she had to sweep her steps, and I've got to sweep my steps, and you've got to sweep your steps until you find that thing that's missing. You've got to be serious about it. He will fill your heart today to overflowing. As the Lord commandeth you, bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart today with overflowing, with the Holy Ghost and fire. He will fill your heart today to overflowing. As the Lord commandeth you, bring your vessels, not a few. Heart today to overflowing. Brother Lee.
coast and far. He will fill your heart today. Thing I'm finding is it's so good that, you know, we get encouraged to follow the Lord, but in return he's already loved us, and the Lord is just waiting for us to respond. He knows what we'll do. He knows where we are. He's made promises, but he really wants us to respond. Let's sing number 17. It's in there. If I know the Lord will make a way for Lee. But it does say me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shall the wrong and evil chorus we've just sung, Lord, I need you right now. In actual fact, Lord, you are singing to us. In my case, Lee, I need you right now. Barbara, I need you right now. And whatever your name is, the Lord is calling us, and he wants you right now. Lord, help us to be in that place where your Holy Spirit has free reign, where we're not just going to turn it aside. We love you, Lord, too, very much. And we know that we're absolutely lost and undone without you. We think of the people that listen in on the internets and the CD, Lord, and you're calling their name, that you want them right now. And we know, Lord, that the time is short for your coming again to take your bride, and we want to be ready. We desire that. Cause that thirst to be there, and it not, must be a God-given thirst, not a happy wish from our part, but a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what we've heard today, because we know it's the truth and we want to be a part of it. Lord Jesus, we're going to have lunch, and we just thank you, Lord, for the food that has been prepared. Bless the people that bought it, and bless the people that joined in, Lord, and help us to just consider the things of God, and be with us at 1 o'clock, Lord, for the service this afternoon, and we can hear more of what you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.